Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Man, I had to go clean myself up. I got tore up in worship, amen? I'm glad I don't wear makeup, because, man, it'd be just messed up right now. So, amen, don't look at your neighbor, because we won't let you know what happened until you get home and say, Lord, did I look like this? It's all good. Let's stand together as we reverence the reading of His Word. It's good to see you here on this Wednesday night. Hallelujah. I love Wednesday nights. I love it that y'all ignore the clock. I ignore the clock, and we rock. And I'm a poet, and you didn't know it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah. I want to go to the 55th division, Isaiah chapter 55. We've been in a series study of things that we can learn from the eagle. And I get excited about this type of series because it's a melting pot of faith and wisdom. You don't know from one week to the next what we're going to hear. It's been an exciting series. We're approaching, Lord willing, the end of the series here in the next week or so. But I want to show you something in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. When you get there, just say amen. And I want to look at verse number 11, Isaiah 55. Verse number 11. And when you get there, just say amen. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Let's read that verse out loud together. Ready? Read. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, the incorruptible seed by which we have been born again. We thank you for the gift of your spirit and acknowledge that it is by your spirit that we are led into truth. Father, I pray for all that would be under the sound of my voice, for those here in this assembly, those watching this live feed, for those that will hear this message by podcast or telecast. Father, I pray that you would bless our hearing, that we, your people, would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and all spiritual understanding. I ask now, Father, that you speak through me words that you would have spoken, that your spirit would speak by me, that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might write on the hearts and minds of these, your people, your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever, as we boldly declare that Satan is defeated. We are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, we got to the seventh thing that we can learn from an eagle last week, and that seventh point was eagles mate for life. And so if you were here last week and you were single, then you were probably, you know, left here praying about, you know, marriage and hopefully changing your view of life and certainly the concept of marriage. And if you left here, sorry to say if you left here married, I trust you're still married. If you were here last week and you were married, then you know the Lord met with us and there was a strong word that was in relationship to marriage last week as we learned from the seventh thing, eagles mate for life. And I'm going to pick that back up here in just a few minutes. But I want to set something up here. We read before the prayer in Isaiah chapter 55, and I want you to see this. I want you to see this. Because beginning in verse number 8, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, makes it bring forth and bud. God said, I'll send rain and it'll make the earth bud. It'll make the earth be fruitful. It'll make the earth yield its increase. I've said it before, you can put water on dirt that you thought was just dirt, and you put water on all of a sudden stuff you didn't know was in that dirt will come to life. All right, because the rain God has designed to bring what's planted in the earth, what seed exists in the earth, that rain makes the earth yield and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now notice the contrast, or rather the comparison in verse 7. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So shall like the rain that makes the earth bud. So like the rain that makes the earth yield its increase. So my word that comes forth out of my mouth. What's God saying here? He's saying my word will make increase. My word will make you fruitful. My word will make things come out of you. Things will come out of you you didn't know was in you when my word begins to get planted in your heart. You know, it's so important that we recognize that of all the parables that Jesus gave, Mark 4 and Matthew 13 tell us his principal parables, where Jesus said, if you don't get this parable, then you won't get any parable that I speak. And a principal thing means it's the essential thing. It's the necessary thing. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the word of God. I had somebody challenge me once. They said, well, how do you know wisdom is the word of God? And I said, well, is God all wise? They said, yeah. I said, is that his word? They said, yeah. I said, then okay, that's his wisdom. Then how could this not be wisdom if the all wise God spoke it? Amen? So wisdom is the principal thing. The word of God is the principal thing. And that word principal just means essential, necessary, needful. You know, I remember as a kid running into the kitchen in the morning, and I, and my mama would have homemade biscuits, and she'd pull the biscuits out of the oven, and she put, you know, I'd eat me a biscuit, and I'd say, Mama, these aren't made with buttermilk. And she said, boy, you know you don't know the difference. I said, Mama, were they made with buttermilk? And she said, no, but you can't taste the difference. I said, then how come I asked if they was made with buttermilk or not? I know sweet milk made these biscuits because they're not buttermilk, because I knew a buttermilk biscuit. She said, well, go on and eat them. I'm out of buttermilk, but they'll have to do. See, she could still make homemade biscuits with sweet milk or buttermilk, but had she been out of flour, we would have had toast. Because to make biscuits, flour would be the essential thing. It's the necessary thing. It's the needed thing. Whether you use sweet milk or buttermilk, that's preference. If you're saved, you use buttermilk. I'm just messing with you, all right? But the principal thing means you don't make it without this. You don't have that thing without this. So when the Bible says in Proverbs 4 and 7, and when Jesus teaches in Mark 4 and Matthew 13, that the principle of the word being treated like seed is the one parable that if you don't get it, you won't get anything else he's saying. The point that Jesus is making is that if you don't recognize that this word is seed, this word is intended to be planted, and when it is planted, it yields increase, it yields its harvest. That's the principal thing. No matter what's going on in your life, whether you're facing marriage issues, financial issues, emotional issues, fear, anxiety, depression, no matter what it is you face today, you have to come to the conclusion that the Word of God is the principal thing. That is the needed thing. That is the necessary thing. If I don't get nothing, I got to get that Word. That's the necessary thing. But here's what we've got to get a hold of, is that you need the principles of God's Word as it relates to what you're facing. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're trying to increase your faith, you know, in a certain area, you've got to hear the word of God in that area. Romans chapter 10 begins in verse number 8, and it says the word of faith must be in our heart, and it must be in our mouth. And then from verse 8 of Romans 10, all the way down to verse number 17, he talks about the process of faith. And in verse 14, he says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in that which they have not heard? And then he sums it up in verse 17 and says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The point is you can't believe in something that you have not heard. And you won't confess what you don't believe. So you've got to hear the word of God in the area that you need your faith increased. You can't hear the word of God on one topic and have your faith increased in another area. And so we need to know what God's word has to say about every single area of our life. So if you're being challenged in your marriage, get into his word and say, okay, God, I didn't hear from my mama, brother, cousin, next door neighbor, and fellow co-worker. What did you say about marriage? You know, you done went and done everything you know to do and heard from everybody you know to hear from. What does God's word have to say about this given thing that's facing your life? Because your faith is not going to be increased in any given area of your life until you've heard the word of God in that area of your life. But you know, the enemy wants to come in and bring offense when that word comes forward so that it won't ever get planted. And that's what Jesus taught us in that parable of Mark 4, is that many hear the word, but they get offended, and that word never yields its increase because they don't allow that word to take residence in the place it must be to yield increase. And the place that the word of God must be to yield its increase is in your heart. It's no different than a seed being in a jar will not grow in your garden until you plant it. The word of God does no good on the back dash of your car or open on a big white family Bible on your coffee table, open up to a beautiful picture of Jesus and John the Baptist. That won't help you walk in newness of life if you're not getting this word sown in your heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? That's where it belongs. So whatever area of your life you're being challenged in, or you're confused in, or you need answers in, or you need faith in, then open the word of God and get his word as it relates to that area of your life. Hallelujah. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? That word will yield increase. It will, but it won't if you don't plant it. What we tend to do as believers is we tend to run from the topic that will actually heal us. Run from the topic that will actually deliver us, you know. So the pastor's preaching on offense, and you know you got an offense issue, so you just stay out of church until, is he through the offense series? Oh, yeah, he finished that last Sunday. Okay, I'm coming back to church. See, you just missed your breakthrough because you wouldn't let that word get sown in you as it came forward when you should have been right there getting that word. Amen. It's like the folk that, you know, you run into and they say, hey, missed you in church. Well, I've been going through something. Well, I should have seen you at every service. You should have been at 8, 9, 45, and 11, 30. We should have asked you, could you please give up your seat? You've been here two services already. No, I got to have all this word three times. I got to make sure I get it. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. I got to get it all. Hallelujah. All right. I want to wrap this point up because it's going to set us up for the next. And that is point number 7, eagles mate for life. We looked at this last week. If you would, turn with me to Malachi chapter number 2. And there's one point I want us to read in Malachi that I didn't emphasize last week. And the reason I want us to see it is because it's going to set us up for number 8 and 9 of things that we can learn from the eagle. So we're gonna wrap up number 7 with Malachi chapter 2. And when you get over there, just say amen. And we'll look at it in verse number 14. Malachi 2, that's the last book in the Old Testament. Verse number 14, when you get there, just say amen. All right. Yet you say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness against thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously or unfaithfully, yet is she thy companion, and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? And he did. God made one out of Adam and Eve. He made one. And in every marriage, he makes two one. Only by his Spirit is that possible. And did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? Why did God institute marriage? What is its purpose? Why did God make two one? He says this, that he might seek a godly seed. See, anytime you don't understand something's purpose, abuse is inevitable. Anytime you do not understand something's purpose, abuse is inevitable. Will you say that with me? Anytime you do not understand something's purpose, abuse is inevitable. So we have to understand what God was doing when he formed marriage from the very beginning. And we see one of the reasons, one of the things that would come out of marriage was for the purpose of a godly seed, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously or unfaithfully against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. He doesn't kind of just doesn't like it. He hates putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously or unfaithfully. God says if you're not being faithful to your spouse, and that's not necessarily saying that you're in infidelity. It just means you're not holding up your part of the covenant. In whatever that might entail, you're not holding up your part of the covenant in marriage. If you want to know what some of your responsibilities are, read Ephesians 5 and see what God has called the husbands to offer unto the wives, and look and see what wives are called to render unto their husbands. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, see what it says about marriage, what Jesus said about it, Matthew chapter 19, verses 6 through 8. So there's plenty of scripture you can look at and say, okay, am I doing what God called me to do in this covenant? And quit looking for a word that you can go back and tell your spouse that what they didn't do. And you know, some of you got married, you're married, and your spouse doesn't attend here, and you do, and you go home and say, well, Pastor James, you should have been there today because he said something you needed to hear. And that's why he won't come, because he thinks that all I ever do is preach on stuff that he ain't doing, but you ain't doing what I'm preaching for you to do. And if you do what I told you to do from the Word and went home and lived it, he'd be asking you what time service time was. But he'd say, where you learn that at? Church. What time's church? Let me give me some of that. The change I've seen in you. So it's so important that we take responsibility and say, okay, Lord, am I doing what you've called me to do in this marriage? Am I holding up my part of the covenant? And that's just a way to tie up any loose ends from last week. Amen. So y'all can take a deep breath. I'm about done with marriage. Y'all, it's all right. Amen. It's going to be okay. Everybody take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. Been dealing with marriage on Sundays and last Wednesday. All is good. Now, I want to pull out this, and we're going to move to number 8. Notice here that an intention that God had for marriage was that he might seek a godly seed. A godly seed. God is saying here, listen, leave your children the legacy of marriage. Leave them the legacy of marriage, and let that marriage be used to bring forth a godly seed. Let's come now to number 8, because that ties right in with what we just looked at. And number 8, and I think we've got that, right? Number 8 is eagles prepare their nests for security, comfort, and training. Eagles prepare their nests for security, comfort, and training. And this is going to lead us right into number 9, because number 9, I'll go ahead and show it to you, because 8 and 9 is going to go together. Number 9 is eagles train their young. Eagles train their young. Now, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Deuteronomy, I want to go to the 32nd chapter. So we're going to go now to number 8. Eagles prepare their nests for security, comfort, and training. And so what can we learn from that as believers? What can we take away from that? And what does the Bible have to say about it? Well, in Deuteronomy 32, God gives us a direct metaphor of the eagle and her nest, and we'll look at it in Deuteronomy 32. When you get there, just say amen. And we'll go down to verse number 11, Deuteronomy 32, verse number 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. So notice God here is contrasting, or comparing rather, his relationship with the children of Israel compared to that of an eagle. Now, there are a lot of people that like to disprove the Bible, and they like to take something the Bible says and say, oh, that's not true. Eagles don't bear their young on their wings. Bald eagles don't. But in the Middle East, there are over 40 different species of eagles. So don't look at one particular species of the eagle and their characteristics, attributes, and traits and say, well, the Bible's wrong. No, you're just limiting the scope here. Because there, like I said, over 40 different species of eagle in the Middle East, and there are species of eagle that do the very thing that's just described here in this verse. So here's the thing. Notice that the eagle is stirring up her nest. The eagle is fluttering over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, bearing them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead them. God here saying, just as the eagle prepares her nest for security, comfort, and training, so I am to you. Now this is beautiful here because I look up this word fluttereth to see exactly what this eagle is doing and what this meant in the original language. And it literally gives the picture of the eagle spreading itself abroad on the edge of that nest to demonstrate to its young its ability that it has within by opening up its wings and just demonstrating the grandness and the majestic awe of the eagle and its size and strength. It's almost like God was saying the eagle, the young eagle looks at the mother eagle and the father eagle and sees a demonstration of its potential. God says, so do I toward you. Can you imagine the Lord, how many times he's given us a picture of his grandness and his splendor and shown us his power and his glory so that we could look up at him and begin to see the potential that we have in him. You say, that's not scripture. It is scripture. God made man in his own image. God made man in his own image. God created you and me in his very own image. You know, when we don't see ourselves correctly, when we don't see our own potential correctly, could it be that we've got a skewed view of God, that we've got a clouded vision of God, we've got a distorted understanding of our God, and because we don't know who he is, we don't know who we are. It's almost like we need to see a revelation. We need to see who God is, and when we begin to see him in his glory, then now we begin to understand our potential in him. Hallelujah. Now, from the time, you know, this eagle, brought into the world and came out of its egg, that nest was a place of security and comfort and training. You know, I love it that it takes both eagles to raise the young, that both are invested in this process. That's why the female eagle, who is bigger than the male eagle, makes the male eagle prove himself before she will ever mate, because eagles mate for life. So she'll go and grab that twig and fly up in the air and drop that twig to see if that male eagle will try to impress her by catching the twig. And then if he does that, she'll drop that twig and go get a bigger twig, and she'll go high with that bigger twig and drop that twig to see if he'll catch that twig. And if he's willing to impress her and to continue to catch these twigs, then she might allow him to mate with her, because they mate for life. But it ain't no easy thing. See, she makes that male eagle prove himself, because she's going to need his strength when it comes to building that nest. She's going to need his strength when it comes to feeding the young. She's going need his strength when it comes to training their young. She's going to need his partnership. So she don't want an eagle that's just going to show up and then fly off. You understand what I'm saying to you? So she wants to make sure he's going to be there for the long haul, because she's going to need that eagle to help her cast the image to her young, be there to help train her young. See, God's got a beautiful picture in scripture if we'd only just follow it. You know, children learn their behavior from their parents. And I understand that we live in a broken world and there are broken circumstances and broken families. And I want you to know that David said, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will raise me up. You have to know that even if you've grown up without the image of a father, even if you've grown up without the image of a mother, God is faithful to come into your life and bring mentors and godly men in your life. He's able to show up and compensate for what fallen man left undone so that you still get a pure image of who he is. But the picture that I'm seeing here in Scripture is that the eagle demonstrates itself. It is there to cast the image to its young. And if there's anything we need in this generation, is we need the conviction and the understanding that our children grow up in the image of their parents. We teach them how to relate to other people. We teach them about relationships by the way we treat each other. Some of you get out in public and your kids go to acting crazy and you say, "Ooh, I don't know where they got that. I know where they got that at home." That's exactly what they're seeing in you. Or what you are permitting in that home, that's what they're seeing. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? Now, I want to come over to John 16. John 16. The eagle goes through a tedious process to build its nest. There have been eagles' nests that have been recorded as weighing over a ton. Some on average will be 9 feet in diameter. So these are massive nests, and they will build on these nests for a lifetime. They just keep building. But what's interesting is that to support the eagles and the eggs and the reproductive and development process, the eagle will literally pull its own down right out of its chest and layer the bottom of that nest with it literally its own down, its own, pluck it right out of himself to give the eaglet some comfort. Imagine the relationship that we have with Jesus and what he gave that we might have comfort, what he gave that we might have security. Think about what your mama and daddy gave that you could have comfort, that you could have security. Come on, somebody. I don't know if we realize it till we become parents, just what our parents gave so that we could have some comfort and some security. Amen? Man, this morning I was taking the kids to school and Miley handed me her shoe, and she said, "Daddy, I don't know if this knot's coming out." She had a big old knot in her shoestring, and she gave me that shoe, and it was not safe what I was trying to do. I had the shoe on the steering wheel, and I was trying to untie the knot, and going through, you know, down the road. I said, "Look, I got to pull over. This can't be done safely driving. I don't know how this knot got in here this deep." And man, I pulled up, I had let all the kids out but Mila. And as I went to work, I found me a ballpoint pen. I stuck that pen in there, man, I finally got that knot out. I said, "Girl, where in the world did you get these shoes?" She said, "They were Lanas, they were hand-me-downs. These shoes were bad. They were sold, I don't even know the name on the shoe. Shoestring was all tattered, and that's why the knot got in there." And I said, "Baby girl," I said, "when you get home from school today, daddy gonna have you a brand new pair of shoes." So I came home with some new shoes today, and Chrissy saw the shoes, and she said, "Now, you know, Mila is very, very finicky about her shoes." She said, "You know, we can't ever go shoe shopping because she just never gets satisfied." I said, "You know what? I forgot about that. You're right. That's why she don't have any new shoes. She can't ever pick out a pair." She said, "But you know what?" She said, "This is going to work because she loves you, and she's going to be so excited when she gets home and you bought her some shoes. It don't matter what it look like. She's going to like them." I said, "You think so?" She said, "I think so." Mila came home today. I said, "Baby girl, did you get shoes?" "Oh, daddy got shoes." Gave her shoes. She pulled them out the bag. "Oh, my daddy, I love them." Threw them on her feet. I said, "Come on, somebody. You know the Lord is good." Chrissy looked at me, and she gave me that look. I looked back, and I said, "Yeah, you married a good eagle, girl. I picked the sticks up. I build a nest. I hover over the nest. I flap my wings. I do all that stuff. Buy shoes." I can't wait to get home tonight. Come on, somebody. How did old song go? "When I get home from work, Jesus." Come on, somebody. Watch this here in John 16. Think about the sacrifices that parents make for their young and for their children. Think about the sacrifices your parents made. Think about that just for 1 minute. Can you, for just 1 minute, think about the sacrifices that your parents made so that you could have good? Man, my mama, she would go shopping for us, and she said, now, y'all put that in the closet now, and look, don't bring it all out at once, because I can't let your daddy see that we got all this, so just bring a little bit out at the time. Does anybody have mama like that? Bring just a little bit out at the time now. Don't wear all that in one day now. Daddy will have a fit if he knew I went and spent that much money on you today. And man, I'd ask my mom, I said, can I wear these jeans today? She said, yeah, break them on out. I'd break them out. My daddy look at me, he'd look again, and I'd be like, oh, Jesus. Mom made some sacrifice. She keep them clothes in the trunk, break them just one little piece out at a time. The sacrifices your parents make for our own good is a picture of the sacrifice that God makes for us. Watch this in John chapter 16. When you get there, say amen. Verse number 7, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now notice here that the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. He's our down, hallelujah. He's our down. He's what gives the nest comfort. A nest that's got sticks and twigs and leaves and all this embedded in it, building the structure and the stability of the nest. We thank God for the comfort that's the inner layer of the nest, of the Holy Spirit. And where does this comfort come from? Watch this over in John chapter number 1. Turn back with me to John chapter number 1, and I want to go to verse number 18. In a world that has so much going on, thank God for the security of the nest. Thank God for the comfort of the nest. Thank God that I'm secure in Jesus. Thank God that I'm comforted in Jesus. Thank God that I am developed in Jesus. Everything that I need, he gives me, hallelujah. And the whole time that he's demonstrating himself to me, he's saying, okay, that's the picture of the parent I want you to be. That's the picture of the parent that I want you to be. Watch this in John chapter number 1. We'll look at it in verse number 18. When you get there, say amen. Amen. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is, read it, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus said, I'm in the bosom of the Father. I'm in the bosom of the Father. What's he saying? I'm the down. I'm the down. I'm what comforts the nest. Hallelujah. So how did God give us comfort? How did God give us security? He plucked Jesus out of his own bosom. He gave Jesus out of his own bosom. It was the sacrifice of his own Son that gave you and I comfort and security and wholeness in our salvation. Hallelujah. That's a sacrifice. God gave a sacrifice. The Father God gave the sacrifice of his Son so that we could have comfort, so that we could have security, so that we could be saved. And that is the picture of a loving parent that says, you know what? I'll make the sacrifice so that you can have the comfort. I'll make the sacrifice so that you can have the security. I'll make the sacrifice so that you can be complete. Hallelujah. That's the kind of love that God has for us. Glory to God. So imagine those little eaglets, you know, hanging out down there in that down, and they're safe and they're secure, and Mama Eagle and Papa Eagle are right there, and they're brooding over their young as they develop in that down, as they rest in that soft inner layer of the nest, waiting for the day that they're going to fly and soar themselves. And so the food is brought to them, and everything they need is right there, but there comes a time they got to get up out the nest. There comes a time now when that eagle's got to learn to soar for himself. He's got to fly for himself. And so the mama eagle and the daddy eagle perch up on the branch or on the side of the nest, and they begin to open up their wings real wide to let the little ones know, this is your potential. Do it like daddy does. And the little eagle look up and spread open his wings, because that's what he's seeing his daddy do. And I'm telling you, in your own life, your children are doing the same things they see you do. Whatever they see you do, that's what they're going to do. But can you imagine what happens with that young eaglet when that dead eagle rises up and begins to flutter himself and begins to move his wings, and now that down that was at the bottom of the nest begins to shift and to flutter, and now the comfort isn't quite what it was when they were younger. Now they're being a little agitated by the wind and the turbulence and the down that is floating from the nest. And what's happening here? It's time to come up out of your comfort zone. It's time that you learn how to fly. It's time that you come up out of that nest so that you can reach your own potential. And I want you to know that God will put us in situations sometimes where he will take you out of your comfort zone. He will take you out of what's easy. He'll take you into a place of discomfort, and all because he wants to develop you and train you and get you to a level you've not been at before. But you got to know that he is with you, that he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. He will be with you even under the end of the world, but he's not going to let you remain immature. He's not going to let you remain in this infant stage. He is going to make you grow up. So sometimes to make us grow up, you got to stir the nest. See, there comes an age when the nest got to get stirred. Now, this can be a tragic thing. I studied that only that 40% of eaglets don't make their first flight. That means only 6 out of 10 make their first flight. So this process has got to be in the right season. It's got to be at the right time. It's got to be in the right place. And so, likewise with you and I, we've got a wise Heavenly Father that knows the seasons of life and knows the timing that's needed for you and I to take on a different aspect of his image. See, when you get saved and you accept Christ and you come into his word, you're like the infant, the babe in Christ that's learned this new security in Christ and this new security in your salvation. But yet you may not know exactly who you've been made to be and what your potential is in Christ. So sometimes the Lord will flutter his wings over your life. And as he demonstrates his glory and as he demonstrates his power, sometimes it unsettles what used to give you comfort. But you better know that this is not intended to destroy you. This is not intended to disrupt you in a way that would be detrimental. This is all about development. This is all about stirring the nest. I walked in the kitchen, and my wife had all this stuff all over the kitchen floor, and she had these containers everywhere. And man, there was stuff over in this bin and stuff over in this bin. This bin had flashlights. That bin had batteries. That bin had paint. This bin had something. I mean, stuff was all over. Kid, you can only walk through there. I mean, I'm just trying to navigate my way. And I said, "What in the world, girl, are you doing?" She said, "It's time to get organized around here." She said, "And sometimes to get things in order, you got to make a mess." She said, "So I had to drag everything out of our closet just so I can get it back in order." And she no sooner said that I thought about this message, that sometimes God's got to get things out of order in your life just so he can bring some order. Sometimes he shows up in your life and he flutters his wings and everything's in chaos and you wonder what's going on. But you better know that the all-wise God is doing this for your own good. He's scattering some things because there's too much disorder. But when everything lands, it's going to be back in order again. You got to trust God with that. If we were never stirred, if the Lord never fluttered his wings over us, we would never develop. We would never grow. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Y'all getting anything out of this? Now, I know, you know, we want to stay in the comfort zone. We don't want to be, you know, over here where everything's scattered and looks like it's, you know, my life's being filled with chaos. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. When you get there, just say amen. Now we're going to look at it in verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God wants to reveal to you and me how awesome he is, how powerful he is. If you never had a need, you wouldn't know he was a provider. If you never got sick, you wouldn't know he was a healer. If you were never distressed, you wouldn't know his peace. If you were never confused, you wouldn't know his understanding. If you were never ignorant, you wouldn't know his knowledge. If you were never foolish, you wouldn't know his wisdom. If you were never weak, you would never know his strength. Sometimes God flutters the nest because we've gotten too complacent. We've gotten too comfortable. Imagine the eagle growing up in that nest, always seeing mama eagle and daddy eagle as the source of food. You see these little eagles open up their mouth and the mama and the daddy literally chew the food up for them and spit it in their mouth. And then they just swallow it down. And they've been raised like this. Everything's brought to them. Everything's catered to them. They don't have to leave the down. They're just sitting here in this little comfortable, safe, secure nest while mama and daddy bring me everything I need at my beck and call. But God has ordered creation to know how to train itself for some succession. And so those parent eagles know when the time has come for that baby eagle to see a different image than it's seen before. So at the right time, those eagles would begin to flutter that nest and demonstrate their power in a way that that young eagle has never seen before. See, God will allow things to come into our life so we can see him in a way we've never seen him before. Come on, somebody. So listen, some of you wouldn't have prayed had you not went through that. You didn't even have a prayer life until you entered that thing. I'm not saying God authored it. I'm just saying God used it so that you would begin to get into a relationship with him and see him in a way you've never seen him before. You know, there are so many things that we have not seen about God that desperation will cause you to seek after. The first beatitude in the Sermon on the Mount is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And that word poor in spirit means I'm a beggar. I'm a beggar in spirit. And sometimes God has to get us to a place where we're willing to beg, where we are willing to beg for a breakthrough, for wisdom. And it is then that he can reveal himself to us in a way that we were not able to see before we got in that position of desperation. Hallelujah. I don't need everything to go right all the time, because I'll get complacent and it'll cause me, I'll be praying less, I'll be in the word less, I'll be in the presence of God less while I sit down in my down. And then when somebody says something to me, I'll say, well, you know, I'm forgiven, God is gracious, Jesus saved me, forget you. See, you just resting in the down. You don't want to grow up. You just want to lay around in forgiveness. You just want to lay around being a baby Christian. You just want your excuse for everything to be, well, God still loves me, God still loves me in sin, God still loves me, no, I'm not doing right, God still loves me. See, you down in the down. You in the down. You want to be an infant believer that only glories in forgiveness. But God don't want you glorying in forgiveness after you've already been forgiven. He wants you to glory in his righteousness and doing what he has called you to do. So what he'll do is he'll do this number here for you. He'll stir your comfort up. He'll stir up what's got you satisfied. And all of a sudden now you wake up and you're not happy. You go to bed and you're not happy. You can't find contentment anywhere. Why? Because God is stirring up your nest. He's stirring up your nest because he wants you to grow. Listen, there are some mamas here that are guilty of raising boys in adult bodies. Listen, there are some parents in here guilty of raising boys in a man's body. See, if a man grows up physically, but never grows up emotionally and spiritually, then his body can perform like a man, but he doesn't have the maturity to support the action.
That's when you make a baby, but you won't raise a baby. See, your body can function as a man. It can reproduce, but it doesn't have the maturity to be there to raise what you produce. I'm preaching now. I'm trying to help somebody. There's so much immaturity in the world because there's been a lack of parenting. But God's not that kind of parent. He's not going to let you grow up and not mature. He's not going to let you stay in that infant stage of resting in the comfort of your forgiveness, the comfort of your salvation, without ever developing in who He made you to be. You know, you say, Pastor, how can I get out of a trial? Learn the lesson quick. You know, if you've prayed 8 times about what you're going through and you're still in it, then you need to stop and say, okay, Lord, I get it. What do you want me to learn in this? Because I am ready to learn so I can soar. And I'm going to wrap this up right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I didn't get to number 9, but we will. I mean, I didn't get through with number 9, but we will. 2 Corinthians 4, watch this. So he wants to reveal who he is. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now read verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What's he saying here? He's saying you had to get at the place of death so you could find the power of life. The only way Jesus could show you the power of his resurrection was you had to be willing to face death. In other words, there are things that are going to die in our life, but God's going to raise it up. And so at the end of it all, we're better for it. God is glorified for it. There are people that have been in my life, and I know I've gone through this same thing, and others looked into my life. But there are individuals that have been in my life, or members that I've talked to, and they'll come, and they'll just be, oh, Pastor, you just don't know. And they'll lay it all out, all the brokenness. You just don't know. And I say, I got it. No, one more thing, Pastor. And just lay it all out. And the whole time I'm thinking, you got to go through this. I wish I could just say, in Jesus' name, and then be, oh, thank you, Pastor, it's gone. But no, there's something you got to get in this. Yes. But I have seen the end, and it's not going to be this way always. Trouble don't last always. There is a lesson to be learned. There is something that's going to come out of this if you will just allow the process to take place. Be patient. Don't be anxious. Be faithful. Get before God. Surrender yourself. See the image of who He is. But ask Him to give you the power and the wisdom to be transformed into the same image of who He is. And the quicker you bear the image of God in this thing, the quicker you're going to come out of it. See, once that eagle now has the strength to begin to dance on the perch, which I had time. That's what them eaglets do, man. They get up on the edge of the nest and they'll kind of dance on the perch. They ain't ready to fly yet, but they just dancing up on the edge. I forgot what they called that. I wrote it down somewhere, but they just kind of, you know, we ain't ready to fly just yet, but we dancing on the edge of the nest. You know, we pray and they begin to practice, you know, the moving of their wings. Listen, God just wants you to get up at the bottom of the nest. You ain't got to fly yet. Just get up and do a little something. Just get up and do a little something. Just get up and do a little move. Hallelujah. You ain't got to have all the answers, but you know you got one or two. Do what you know to do. You may not be ready to fly. God sometimes will ask you to do what you can do. We'll sit around in the bottom of the down and God's saying, just show me something. Do y'all remember, I'm going to close in a minute. Do y'all remember when Peter was in prison in the book of Acts, when he was in prison and they were going to kill him next day? And the church was in prayer for Peter and the angel showed up to get Peter out of prison? Now watch this. The angel showed up to get Peter out of a prison, and when the angel opened the doors and showed up, guess what the angel said to Peter? Guess what he said? You think it'd be some kind of amazing thing? You finally get touched by an angel. You finally see an angel. I ain't never seen no angel. You get to see an angel, and guess what the angel said? You think it'd be some big, majestic thing? The angel said, put your shoes on. I'd be like, wait, I've been waiting all my life to see an angel. That's all you got? Put my shoes on? Ain't you got something better than put your shoes on? Can't you? See, but Peter was in jail. Peter didn't have nothing but his shoes. See, God will ask you to do what you can do when you're in a place you can't do nothing about. My God, that's good. God will only ask you to do what you can do when you're in a place you can't do nothing about. I gotta say it again. God will only ask you to do what you can do when you're in a place you can't do nothing about. The angel said, put your shoes on. Boy, Peter put them shoes on, and all of a sudden, boom, he was out of there. See, God just wants you to give him something. Get up on the edge of that mess. You can't fly, but hop. You ain't flying yet, but hop. Hey, you can't fly yet, but exercise your wings. Act like you're gonna fly. Act like you're gonna fly. Come on, somebody. I remember going in a clothing store, looking at clothes I couldn't afford. And the man said, can I help you? I said, no, sir. I don't have no money. I'm just looking. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, don't say that ever again. He said, you walk in there, and you just say this. Not right now. So I'd be in there looking at stuff I knew I couldn't buy. Can I help you? Not right now. He ain't got to know it might be 3 years. When we bought that land down the street, we didn't have no money at that time to build a building on it. It was just an empty 8 acres. And so we went out there, and we smoothed it all out. And I would go out there, and I'd say, honey, I think this is about right here where the church is going to be. Yep, this is going to be about the corner. And I'd step it off. I'd say, right in here is the pulpit. Right in here is the pulpit. And we'd turn our radio up in my truck, and we'd have the praise music going. And my wife would be there praying, and I would stand in that dirt, and I would act like I was preaching. I would see myself preaching. There wasn't no building there. Wasn't nothing there. People driving down the road, honking their horn. I ain't got time for you. I'm getting a vision. I can't fly yet, but I can hop in the nest. Hey, hey, hey. Oh, my God. Say it out loud. I may can't fly yet, but I can hop in the nest. Hey. Act like it's so. You got to start somewhere. Just do what you can do. We're in the place you can't do nothing about. That's a tweet right there. Just do what you can do when you're in the place you can't do nothing about. See, once them little eagles get up and stretch their wings, Mom and Daddy Weagle, they settle down now. Okay, that's what I wanted out of you. That's what I wanted out of you. I want to see you jump. I want to see you spread your wings. Show me what you got. I've been showing you what I got. Now let me see the image of me in you. And God wants to see his image in you. Quit walking around defeated, oppressed, depressed, in a mess, can't rest, living in lust, trying to pass yet another test. God's saying, is that me? Laying up on your couch, watching Star Wars, eating Twinkies. Is that me? Walking around with your head all down like you're defeated. Is that me with your tail tucked between your legs, barking like a whoop chihuahua? Is that me, God is saying? Jesus found out that Lazarus was sick, And he said, this sickness is not unto death. And so then he showed up 4 days later, and Mary and Martha came to him, weeping and wailing. If you would have been here, Lord, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Jesus looked at that countenance, and he said, said I not unto thee? Did I not tell you that this sickness was not unto death? Did I not tell you that I am the resurrection and the life? And though a man die, yet in me shall he live. If that be true, then why are you walking around with your head down? Hallelujah. We got to start walking in the image of who he is. And when you find it the hardest to do that, that's when you're going to get the biggest breakthrough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Glory to God. Every head bowed. Say this with me. All God asks is that I do what I can when I'm in the place I can't do nothing about. Oh, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every soul watching this live feed, wherever they are in the world. I pray for every soul seated here in this sanctuary, that no matter what we're facing, no matter what's going on in our lives, we would do what you've called us to do. We would be who you've called us to be. That we would bear your image in every situation and every circumstance. That we would mimic what we've seen in you. That we would just be a copycat of everything we've seen you do. You saw darkness and you said light. You saw darkness, but you said light, light. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that when you saw death, you said life. Lord, help us in the midst of lack, say provision. In the midst of anxiety, say peace. In the midst of fear, say faith. In the midst of weakness, to say strength. Your word says that a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Lord, give us the right answer so that we can have the right countenance, so that we can be who you've called us to be. Oh, church, what can you do? See, the enemy will always get you to focus on what you don't have, but God will always have you focus on what you do. When they got ready to feed the 5,000 men, they came to Jesus and they said, the journey's too far to the store, and we don't have enough money to buy it if it were closer, but we've got 5,000 men here. And if we send them home, the journey's too long, and the day is past. Jesus had heard everything they didn't have. He looked back, he said, what do you have? They said, well, we've got a young boy here that's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said, bring it to me. You've been focusing on what you don't have. I want to know what you do. See, your marriage won't ever work out when you look at what's not there. What is there? What is there? What is there is your building block. What is there is your bedrock. Hallelujah. Look into your life right now. You say, Pastor, I'm broken financially, but what do you have? What do you have? Quit looking at what you don't have and look what you do have. You got to take inventory of your life, and you can't take inventory of knots. You got to take inventory of what exists. Take inventory, and God says, I'll use what you got. Do what you can with what you have. Do what you can with where you are. You might say, Pastor, I don't have a dollar to change. I can't give God nothing. Yeah, you can. You can give him praise. You can give him praise. You can give him praise right where you are. You can give him praise. Do what you can. It may be as simple as putting your shoes on. Do what you can. Oh, Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that in the midst of our trials, you'd be glorified. In the midst of our trials, that you'd be glorified. I want to challenge the broken here tonight. I want to challenge those of you that are hurting and you feel like maybe your nest has been stirred. I want you to know that this thing's going in and it's going to work for your good. All things work for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Sometimes you got to pull everything out of the closet to get everything in the closet organized. Your life may be disrupted right now, but it's only the process to bring order. It's going to come together. Don't be overwhelmed. It's going to come together. This isn't the end. It's just a real strong curve. You're about to get ready to go in another direction. It's not the end yet. It's just a change. God brought you here tonight to give you hope. Hallelujah. I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Watching this live feed, pray this prayer with me. If you don't know Jesus, pray this prayer with me. If you know him, pray it with me. Heavenly Father, I give you my life to be used for your glory. Thank you for stirring the nest of my life. So that I can find the purpose the plan you have for me. Oh, Holy Spirit just spoke something to me. Oh, hallelujah. He told me to tell you that his gifts and his callings are without repentance. That thing that came into your life that you thought destroyed it was just the stirring of the nest, because there was something in the nest of your life that needed to leave. If you keep holding on to that thing that the stirring of the nest is trying to drive away, you're just prolonging the stirring. You've got to let that thing go. And it may look like it's over, but God's not done with you. He's not done with you. He just couldn't take you to the next level if you were going to have that in your life. So he stirred your nest to get this thing out of your life. And you know what that thing is. But don't you worry. You're going to soar at higher heights now with that thing being out of your life. So this stirring of the nest has not destroyed your life. It's going to be used to take you to the next level. In Jesus' name. Finish this prayer with me. Lord, I ask forgiveness of my sins. I ask that you cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I ask that you take from my life what does not belong. I believe you love me. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead. And right now I believe that your strength is made perfect in my weakness. I want to bear your image. I want to be who you called me to be. So I ask that you fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your word. In Jesus' name.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.